all across America and around the world. This is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And welcome to Veterans Radio. I am Jim Fossone with VeteransRadio.net. We're recording today from the Legal Help for Veterans studio in Northville, Michigan. Legal Help for Veterans is a veterans disability law firm, and you can reach it at 800-693-4800. Our guest today is going to be an exciting interview with Scott McCowan. Scott is a author. He has a interesting pedigree here. He's grew up in Eastern Oregon, went to Oregon State University, now lives in San Diego, but not until after he kind of was a worldly guy with both studying and working in London. Scott, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be on.
Well, we're glad to have you. This is an interesting, you've got an interesting body of work I want to talk to you about. Scott, you have both sort of fiction in the military space, but you also have, I don't know what you'd call it, but I kind of call it historical record nonfiction works. How did you get into writing in this space focused on military books?
You know, I always had an interest in the military. My father was a World War II veteran, decorated P-38 Black Widow night fighter pilot, and I almost went to the Air Force Academy myself, opted not to, and took a scholarship at Oregon State instead. And then, you know, I got to know a bunch of guys here in San Diego that were Navy SEALs, some of whom were friends of mine. And as a result of that, I was introduced to Chris Kyle and heard the stories of Chris Kyle. And then one thing led to another in the writing of American Sniper.
Well, it's not really that simple, is it? It takes a lot more time and effort and work. But obviously, American Sniper and the Chris Kyle story, which you wrote, was one heck of a way to break into the field.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that experience.
You know, Chris was an amazing guy. I met him while he was still active duty, and he'd just gone through his fourth deployment and was considering getting out. He wasn't certain whether he wanted to or not, but his marriage, as was aptly noted in both the book and the movie, was having some serious difficulties after, you know, the number of deployments that he'd had and just the toll of war, if you will, on him psychologically as well as his family being away. And so, you know, I got to know Chris really well, and we were friends, drinking buddies, and, you know, I'd just sit around and hear his stories when we'd have some time off. And, you know, ultimately I convinced him and said, look, you know, I think your story is historical. I think it represents, you know, the best of what this country did as far as manpower and efforts in the Middle East. And you know, I think that it's something that you really should put down into a written format and we should, you know, make into a book. And he agreed and obtained the book deal with HarperCollins, and, you know, the book was then written over the next year and a half period after that.
Well, let's back up a little bit. You're not a veteran, and you know, attorneys aren't you know, the most beloved species of human beings in the world.
That's true.
Affectionately as one. So how did you find yourself in a situation where you could develop a rapport with Navy SEALs there in San Diego, and more importantly, how did they end up trusting you enough to tell you their stories?
Well, I do a lot of charity work for the veterans. I do a lot of, if you will, free legal work for them. So I kind of had a street credibility with the veterans, and certainly with the Navy SEALs, as a result of, you know, a lot of pro bono work that I'd done with them and their families and helping them out and never charging anything for it. So, you know, I mean, my own street credibility, if you will, was vetted on multiple occasions just by virtue of the fact that I would do everything I could to help these families and help these people out that were, you know, dealing with troubles while their wives and spouses and husbands were deployed. So that's kind of my entree. And then I also grew up on a ranch in Eastern Oregon, and I was a hunter and a fisherman from the time I was really from day one. And, from the time I was a young man. And as a result of that hunting and fishing experience, you know, I became a pretty good shot. And as luck would have it, Chris Kyle, his weapon of choice while deployed in the Middle East was a 300 rifle. And that was also my weapon of choice when I was big game hunting in Oregon. So we had a common bond and a caliber of rifle that we both understood very well.
Well, let me stick a little bit with some of the other, what I'll call nonfiction historical record books that you've written. One of them seems to be Eyes on Target, talking about the Navy SEALs and some of the efforts in Benghazi. Can you talk a little bit about that book and what brought you to it and what you learned out of it?
Yeah, Eyes on Target was a fun project. I did that with a writer out of Washington, D.C., by the name of Rich Miniter. And Rich and I basically took a collection of stories from various sources, including Navy SEALs and SEALs that had been deployed, basically put together a montage in which we tried to cover a group of different people from different aspects of the Navy SEALs and what their stories really were about. And at the end of it, yeah, we described what we believe two exemplary examples of Navy SEALs in Glenn Doherty and Ty Woods, and the battle that they took to the enemy in the Battle of Benghazi, and what we felt, you know, how they were let down by the government in Benghazi. And so it was kind of an overall view of the SEAL ethos, if you will, combined with actions by SEALs that had been in battles, and then summed it up with, you know, two Navy SEALs that took on overwhelming odds and probably saved at least 40 lives that we know of at the CIA annex there when they had to fall back out of the after the ambassador was killed.
And in this writing, you get a chance to sort of look at a lot of the after-action reports, if you will, but sort of historical record of these encounters and build that into the story, as I understand it.
Certainly. You know, we've got your after actions, which you may or may not have access to, depending on the level of security. And then you've got eyewitness accounts, others that were there. And then, you know, with Benghazi, we did our own research, particularly with, you know, available plans that could have been put in place had we had the political wherewithal to do so, which unfortunately we did not, given the current administration and the Secretary of State, who is now running for president.
Listeners, we're talking to Scott McEwen. Scott writes military books focused on the military. Some are what I'm referring to as, you know, nonfiction historical records, and others are more in the fiction area. We'll get to those in a minute. But along with American Sniper and Eyes on Target, you've got an upcoming book that sort of falls into that first category. Can you tell us a little bit about American Commander?
American Commander about a Navy SEAL commander by the name of Ryan Zinke. Ryan is currently a United States congressman out of Montana, the only congressman for Montana, given the lack of population in that huge state. And Ryan is a former SEAL Team 6 commander that did 23 years in the Navy SEALs. Amazing guy. He was in charge of Bud's training, which is the SEAL team training, for a number of years, has known a variety of people, including Chris, Marcus Luttrell, et cetera, that he put through BUDS. And his story is kind of full circle. It's certainly not a sequel to American Sniper, nor is it about Chris Kyle per se, but it is about the guys that are trained there and the attitude that goes into training those guys from a command level, from a commander level. And I feel a real interesting expose.
And before we turn to some of your fiction books in this area, tell us a little bit about what you've learned about the U.S. military as you've worked your way through these different exercises of writing fiction and nonfiction books focused on the military.
Well, you know,
one of the things that I learned that stays with me is the level of sacrifice that we've seen, not only with the Navy SEALs, but with all branches of our military, particularly over the last, 15 years since 9/11, when we've been at war. And, we've got guys that have deployed back-to-back on multiple occasions and, in multiple theaters, some of whom have been at war literally for, 14, 15 years. And it's amazing to me, the toll that we have asked of these men and women of our military, because they're carrying a huge burden in the longest war period that we've ever seen in United States history. And I think a lot of people forget that we have been literally at war now for 15 years.
I think you've absolutely hit on one of those things, and we're talking to Scott McEwen, author of Ghost Sniper, which we'll talk about in a minute, and American Sniper, upcoming book to be released, American Commander. Scott, you've hit on one of those things that those of us who have served, and maybe you see it a lot in San Diego because of the population, but do you get a sense as you go around the country and talk to different folks that the general population just doesn't understand the level of sacrifice and the level at which our military men and women have been asked to stay up tempo and keep protecting the interests of the country?
It's appalling. I mean, it's truly appalling when you think about it. And I don't say that to be negative towards those people that don't understand, but I just think as a nation, we really don't have an understanding as a whole of exactly what it is to serve and to be deployed and, in these sandboxes all over the world and the toll it takes. And I think that's one of the problems that we have in our society is that we don't have a collective understanding of exactly what the toll is. And I think that one of the things I try to do in my writing is give people a glimpse of, what it is to have a military member that's gone for, months at a time, sometimes in operations that don't allow them to communicate on a regular basis, if not a weekly basis, in some of the worst areas this planet has to offer, in very, very difficult situations and in very, very, with rules of engagement that I feel are completely absurd in many situations, particularly, with what we see for rules of engagement right now in Afghanistan. I just think we're asking too much of our troops and we're not giving them the ability to win. And if we don't give them the ability to win, then by God, let's not have them there.
Well, I think all of our veteran radio listeners would agree with you, Scott McEwen, on that last statement. And before we turn to the fiction work, I guess I wanted to get one more sample of your thinking as it relates to how our Washington, D.C. politicians, whether they understand the issues we're talking about. I know in Eyes on Target you put some time and effort into the House Republican Conference Interim Progress Report and really looked at the Benghazi situation. What'd you walk away from all that research with?
I think that one of the things, my pet peeves, one of the reasons I have supported, men such as Ryan Zinke for Congress and now writing a book with him, but I supported Ryan before we were doing the book, and Duncan Hunter for Congress is, I think our Congress is now at less than 10% of, maybe even less than 5% of individuals that have actually served this nation. And, I don't care if you're D or R or I or what the hell you want to put behind your name. If you've been in the United States military and you've served this country, then I want to see more of you in a leadership role in Washington, D.C., because they know. They've been there. They've done that. They understand what it is to do it. They understand what rules of engagement are. They understand that battlefield supplies, that the equipment that they need to get the job done is the difference between life and death and, an extraction after some type of casualty and death. And so I just can't emphasize more that if your listenership is interested in this and you want to help, elect the guy that's been there and the woman that's been there to go and serve in Washington D.C. because it really doesn't matter to me what party they're from, even though I'm a little bit more on the right side of things. If they've been there and they've done that, then they have an understanding of what it is to defend this nation.
Well, and that thinking, I think, comes through a lot of your writing. But let's turn to some of your nonfiction work. Tell us about the Sniper Elite series.
Sniper Elite series is a series that I thought up, you know, after I'd done American Sniper. And really what it is it's an amalgamation of stories that I'd heard that from operations that would never see the light of day. And from things that just would never be approved by the DOD for whatever reason. You know, many of these stories I've fictionalized in the characters and in the scenarios that have now become a part of the books. And those stories are now really, you know, it's based on a SEAL Team 6 sniper, a fictional sniper by the name of Gil Shannon. But Gil incorporates a lot of the skill set, a lot of the attitude, a lot of the actions of a huge number of guys that I've known from the SEAL teams that have been out there fighting the war on terror. And, you know, and I get to do all the things I want to do with the character, including, you know, creating my own set of rules that say, look, we're going to win and we're going to win for our side. And that's kind of what that character is. It's a cathartic character for me in many ways, because I get to do things exactly the way I want to do them, irrespective of what anybody else says.
Well, it certainly gives you more flexibility as an author.
Yeah.
And you're on your, I think, fourth book in the Sniper Elite series.
I am. Ghost Sniper. And
you've ridden these with Thomas Kolinar. Can you talk to us a little bit about your co-author?
Yeah, Thomas is now a friend of mine, and he came to me. We have a mutual agent in New York, and Thomas is a really interesting guy. He wrote a book, a fiction book called Cannibal Rain, which has a lot of military action in it as well. And I just love his style of writing, his military style of writing, and his engagements and his character work for the guys that he likes. And so we teamed up together for this series, and he lives in Mexico, so he's got a unbelievably valuable amount of time to really think it out and work into things more than I do. And so, you know, I brought a lot of the material to him, and then he and I massage it and put it together into a format that works. And you know, the result is the fourth book with Simon & Schuster, and the first two books have been optioned and acquired by Sony Pictures and Columbia Pictures, and hopefully we'll have a movie out of those two in a very near term.
Well, let's mention the names of each of the Sniper Elite books so that our listeners can get on their favorite website and pull them down and read them. Why don't you go ahead and walk us through each of the books real quickly?
The first book was 2013, and it's called Sniper Elite: One Way Trip, the original book in the series. Second book was Target America, 2014. It involves same characters, and that's it involves acts of domestic terrorism and what happens when people got to get bad guys, when the bad guys come here to hit this country. Involves the bad guy in that one is released from Gitmo and goes back to attack the United States afterwards, not dissimilar to what we've seen in the recent past with our president releasing them. Anyway, then the third in the series, 2015, was The Sniper and the Wolf. And it involves Chechen terrorists in the European theater. And then the fourth that's just come out last month is Ghost Sniper. And it involves narco-terrorism with the Mexican mob teaming up with the Islamo-terrorists, another big problem that we're seeing arise, unfortunately, in the very near term as well.
I have to tell you, listeners, as I read Ghost Sniper by Scott McEwen and Thomas Kolinar, I felt like this was being ripped out of the pages of the news that we read. And now that I know Thomas spends time down in Mexico, it explains why you really get that flavor to it. But a lot of your writing, Scott, is just that. Unfortunately, the daily news gives you all kinds of, I guess, ammunition for what to write about.
Yeah, exactly. You know, unfortunately, we live in a very dangerous world. And, you know, with the rise of Al-Qaeda that we've seen, as well as the rise of ISIS to follow them, you know, there's no lack of terrorists out there willing to kill Americans and or go after European or Western European interests. And, you know, the scenarios that we put in the in the series have unfortunately precast many of the things that we've seen that have come up recently. And hopefully we'll limit that, or we'll see a limitation of that. But you know, from where the sun now sets, I don't see it slowing down in the near term.
Now, Scott, Chief Navy Master Chief Gil Shannon is sort of your lead character. If somebody was interested in getting into your Sniper Elite series, do they have to start back in the first book, or can they jump in anywhere and get kind of along for the ride?
I think you can jump in anywhere. I mean, obviously, background and training and prior operations are important to anybody's, you know, history. But I like to think that they're standalone. You know, you started with Ghost Sniper, so you've got a feeling for the characters out of Ghost Sniper. And we like to try and give some snapshots of prior operations in any event, but I like to think that they're able to pick up any one of them and still appreciate the characters. But obviously, for the best effect, starting with book one is ideal if you have the time and the opportunity.
Well, I would tell our listeners you can jump in on any of these. I jumped in on Ghost Sniper. They're certainly ridden with enough vignettes of prior missions and history, so you sort of get that flavor that, yeah, this is part of a series, but you don't feel like you're missing the inside joke or the inside story. It's a great read. I look forward to backing up and reading some of the other ones as well. And I'm certainly going to keep my eye out on American Commander, which comes out in another month or so. Scott, you're a prolific writer. Is this because of your background or training, or just a flood of events that you're trying, you know, ideas are just flooding into you and you're just trying to keep up with it all?
I think it's a combination of the two. You know, I like to think that, you know, I work pretty hard at what I do, and I think I do. You know, when you have a big opportunity and you have a big hit, such as American Sniper, you know, you got to take advantage of that while the iron is hot, because as in Hollywood or in the writing industry, people forget very soon, you know, if you can't follow up with something good. I've fortunately had, you know, the good fortune and maybe the good choices to choose the right subjects and the right, you know, ones to follow with. But, you know, ultimately, SEAL teams, the guys that I like to write about, the guys that I know inside the teams, are something that people are interested about. In a world of compromise that we live in now, and everybody's, you know, wants to try and make everything gray, there's still a few groups out there that make things black and white, and I think the SEAL teams are one of them. You either qualify to be a SEAL or you don't. You either make the grade and you become one of the warriors, or you don't, and you're either able to deliver the goods, you know, for the teams, or you aren't. And I like those characters to write about, because many times nowadays it's everybody gets a trophy, and unfortunately in war everybody doesn't get a trophy.
Well said. I want to thank Scott McEwen, author, who just happens to also be an attorney, but I think nowadays you should be simply known as an author.
Yeah, I'm a recovering attorney.
Yeah, there you go. You've written great books on the nonfiction side as well as the fiction side. A lot of people can't say that, so that's a real accomplishment as well.
I really appreciate that, and I appreciate you having me on.
I want to thank everyone for listening to Veterans Radio today. I am Jim Fossone. It's been a pleasure to be your host, and conduct this interview. I'm a veterans disability lawyer at Legal Help for Veterans, and you can reach us at 800-693-4800 or legalhelpforveterans.com. You can follow Veterans Radio on Facebook and listen to its podcasts and internet radio shows at veteransradio.net. And until next time, you are dismissed.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.